B-Pod Studios.
Ahoy, K-Rock.
What's your problem?
Hello.
Hey!
Tony! Tony!
How are you?
D'Amico from Cape Crepe and Chowder, right by the old bus depot, Cape Coral. How are things with you? I haven't heard from you in a while. What's up?
They could not be better.
I bet. It's good hearing you. Everything going good. This certainly isn't a social call.
What do you got cooking?
Yeah, what do you want? What do you want from me?
Well, my good man, you may recall, a while back I was dating a young lady.
Yeah, you were, who was a lot younger than you.
Very much younger than me, and she had problems with substances.
Had problems with what?
Substances.
She had a substance abuse problem. Why don't you come right out and say it? She was an addict. Substance abuse.
Right.
So how are things going with her?
Well, I think she's doing okay.
Thanks.
I had it committed.
You went and had your girlfriend who had a substance abuse problem.
She's not my girlfriend anymore.
You had her committed.
I had her committed.
Committed to what? Rehab? Where?
Substance.
For substance abuse.
Yes, it was unfortunate, but this young lady needed to turn her life around.
Right.
And she was lucky to have a friend like me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
she was
okay.
Even luckier to have a friend named Anita.
A friend named Anita?
Right.
You're calling up 100,000.
I'm calling my dear, dear friend.
Yeah, to go and talk about how you had your girlfriend committed and you and Anita.
Anita was her roommate.
Yeah.
And as we physically was, I'm not going to say her name anymore, but we forced Deborah into a facility.
Forced Deborah in.
Mm-hmm.
And who... You know, a very wise man once said, the heart was what the heart was.
Who was it that said that?
Yeah, who said that?
I don't know. I think I heard it on your show.
You're darn right you did.
Yeah.
So you went and committed your girlfriend, and thanks to you and Anita.
Uh-huh.
And the heart
flew, Cupid's arrow pierced my heart and my genitals.
Wait a second. Are you saying you hooked up with her roommate, and now that she's been committed, you and the roommate?
Yes. And we couldn't be happier.
Okay.
And when I was talking about Cupid's arrow,
yes,
Anita thought I would look good with what they call a Prince Albert.
Oh, no!
It's a tiny little barbell, and it gives her pleasure.
Whoa! Ouch!
Aren't you a little old for this?
You're only as old as you feel.
You've had a heart attack. You've had heart attacks, strokes. Now you're got a relationship going with this Anita, who made you get a Prince Albert.
Oh,
right.
What are you doing? And you called to tell me this.
Well, I'm calling actually on behalf of her father.
Anita's father?
Well, the girl's name is Anita Cox.
Okay.
What's funny about that?
Nothing
at all.
Anita Cox.
Right.
Anita Cox.
Okay.
We heard you.
What is so funny about that?
Nothing.
No, there's something funny on the TV.
Right, yeah. I was just laughing at the news.
Oh, okay. as fate would have it.
Yes.
Her father.
Yes.
Mr. Archibald Cox. runs a reputable local business.
Yes. Okay.
He runs the Cox Confection.
Cox Confection.
Mm-hmm. And they are well established. They have been here for many a year.
All right.
Pardon me?
Nothing. Go right ahead, Dura. go ahead, Dura.
Okay.
They've been here for many a year.
I'm trying to make a friendly call.
Right. With Anita Cox.
Anita Cox.
Right. You planning to get married again?
Well, you never know, because the heart wants. It's a hard one.
Right. You're right.
Right.
So her father.
Mr. Archibald Cox of right. Cox Confection.
Right. Yes.
And a run-in with one of your salespeople.
Oh, really?
They refused to allow him to advertise on your radio station, and I thought you might like to be aware of that.
They are turning away
perfectly good money.
I would like and to
Anita,
be aware of that.
Came to me and said, you know them. Can't you put in a word for my father? And I said, I am a very influential man.
Yeah, well, I'll admit that. You sure are. And I cannot
And I told her I can't imagine that rat hole turning away legitimate business.
No, I'm shocked.
He said that they told him that his advertising was inappropriate and they would not allow the ad to run.
Why? What was it? What was he trying to do?
I don't know. His main deal is he makes these all-day suckers.
Sure, the kids love them.
They're made by the Cox Confections people.
Right.
And they're called suckers.
Now, wait a second. I can
and
understand.
They said that,
hey.
That was inappropriate.
Yes.
They would not air it on your radio.
Well, I firmly agree. It's just, I know what, Cox suckers.
Yeah.
That's fine, but people might hear the wrong thing.
Well, he said, okay, fine. Even though that's my flagship product,
right.
We can advertise other things.
Like?
He makes like a knockoff of Chiclets.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, it's called Tiny Cox.
Uh-huh.
And the motto is, how many cocks can you swallow? And they said that wouldn't work either.
I cannot believe that. I don't see
anything wrong with
I
that.
I see
it
nothing wrong with it.
Still remains a perfect gentleman.
Right. Archibald Cox.
Yes.
Right. With Brenda Cox.
Anita.
Anita.
Anita Cox.
I need a
Why is it funny about that?
Nothing.
Anita Cox.
Right. That's your new lady friend.
And then he said, okay, yeah. If you have a problem with that, we also make a complete line of hard candies.
Ah.
Called Hard Cocks.
That's, you know what? I can
And then they make a lollipop. It's like a Tootsie Pop ripoff.
Right.
Okay. Blow Cocks.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
They would not accept any of this. They wouldn't even accept the novelty called Poppycocks.
That sounds fun.
And there's a cultural difference. He was trying to reach the Hispanic community.
Sure, sure.
And evidently, south of the border, they enjoy candies that taste like food.
Sure, yes, they do.
And he come out with chicken cocks.
Wow.
They say that didn't work either.
Well, I don't know if it would work here.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then he did like a ripoff of the Gobstopper. He was called it Huge Cocks.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Boy, I can't understand that. I can understand it where I see where the salesperson, their mind in the gutter.
And then to top it off, and I mean, he sells probably thousands of these is Valentine's Day, but he's trying. It's been so popular, he's making it a year-round thing.
What's that?
You know, like how the Whitman sampler is?
Yeah.
He sells cocks in a box.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff.
He's a very He's a very talented young man.
Right. The father is actually younger than you are, isn't he?
Oh, substantially by several decades. Like his son to me.
Right, but he could be the father-in-law. You know, we got to go now, Tony, but I'm going to do you a favor.
Is there anything you could do?
Yes, two things.
Get the, you know, the advertising.
Yes.
The Cox.
Yes. Yes, I can. One, I will go and talk to the sales department to get those commercials on. And two, you got about 60 seconds, Tony. And you, an entrepreneur yourself and a man who knows the radio business pretty darn well, I'll give you 60 seconds to put out a little commercial yourself for Cox Confections.
Okay. Roll them.
They're rolling.
We're rolling.
Hello, friend. This is Tony DiVico from Cape Crape and Shouter. I'm here to introduce you to Cox. Yes, friends, delicious Cox candy. Would you like an experience that lasts all day?
Yeah.
Try a sucker. Perhaps you're in the mood for something different.
Yes.
If you like chiclets, you'll love Tiny Cox. Do you like the jawbreaker?
I do.
Then perhaps you would enjoy a huge Cox. Are you Mexican or Oriental? Then perhaps you'd enjoy a case of Chicken Cox.
That's
you enjoy a touch of whimsy. Then enjoy a box of poppycocks.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. Or if you just like an old-fashioned confection, try the hard cocks.
Hey, we were out of time. I asked for a 60-second commercial.
How many licks does it take to get to the middle of a blowcock?
I gotta go. All right, I'll talk to the right people. All right there, buddy.
Okay.
All right, you're good people.
You're good people, too, and tell them they should always respect the small businessman.
All right, come on.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as an Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope want to sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon.
whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Gotta wait too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Funny, but unfortunately, it's long out of print. Stan and Haley,
96 K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haley here. Thank you very much. You're a fantastic audience.
Always happen.
Thank you very much. It's my buddy Haley right there. Wednesday afternoon.
Well, it finally happened, Stan.
What happened?
A lot of effort went into it.
What?
I know a lot of the effort was on the part of Rob.
What?
But through effort on Rob's part and my part, I was able to figure out, finally, how to play Call of Duty with our listener, Eli.
Oh, yeah, because he called back and got your gamer tag.
But he couldn't make it work. So he called Rob back and gave Rob his gamer tag.
Right.
And when I sent the invite to him...
Then it worked. So now you're engaging with our listeners.
Yeah, because he's on PS4 and I'm on Xbox
platform,
One.
Platform, yeah.
And that's like a whole new thing. And we had to...
Made a new buddy.
Well, they have... when you go in... Usually you're on a four-man team, and so I'm trying to talk to our listener and have a conversation, and there's two other yahoos that are none the wiser to what we're talking about.
So that was a little... Did you do all right last night, though, with him? Is he a capable player?
He's a much better player than I am.
Okay, then good. You need that. And I'm glad you made a new friend. Glad you made a new buddy.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, all right. Who's that? What was I looking at there? What was that?
Was that Lyle Wagner?
I don't know who it was.
I'm not sure. That just popped up on the Stan and Haney Facebook page as I scrolled
through.
Are you
serious? Yeah. Who is that?
I may be a listener. I'm not sure.
I want to know. I swear to God, I've never seen that person before in my life. Handsome gentleman, but I...
It did. It looked like somebody that would be on the Carol Burnett show.
Lyle Wagner. Might have been a young Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know who that is, but thanks for posting.
Well, we'll never see it again.
No, it's gone.
We may have dreamed it.
I saw it with my own eyes.
Well, what it feels like sometimes.
You remember when we saw the ball in here, don't you?
Well, you remember when I was struck by lightning and all this stuff, and we just ignore it and move along.
I am the biggest skeptic there is. Haney is, too. Now, I've said for years about the Haney getting hit by lightning. Fact, I saw the flash in the back of his head, and it goes arc through his headphones. What were we talking about?
We were talking about something we shouldn't have been.
Yeah. And one of us jokingly said, oh, well, we need to see a sign. And I'm not kidding you. This happened probably two, three years ago in this room.
Yeah, the lights went off like poltergeist style.
The lights went off and there was a ball that was sitting there for probably a good 3 seconds.
You can't pay attention to those things. You do what everybody else does, and we have a tool for this. It's called normalcy bias.
And I said to you, I said, did you see it? And said, yeah. We said to our producer at the time, I think it was Junior, said, did you see that? And he goes, yeah.
Well, and I've told you certain things that there's no way I could know way ahead of time.
Well, you've always already proven many times on the show you're psychic.
I'll never forget the look on your face when that one came through.
That was about 15 years ago.
I know, but I don't think I've ever seen you that shocked.
Don't ride on that laurel.
But I don't think I've ever seen you that shocked.
I'd like something new.
Because I gave you a piece of information.
I know you did, and it was true.
And you said to me, Haney, don't worry about it. There is no way that would ever happen.
It happened.
And then you looked at me and went, Oh.
I know. I like to read the Daily Mail and the local. We'll have Stan's local beat later on.
Oh, did
got
you?
I got that in the grab bag.
You found it?
Yeah, the Naples guy.
Yep.
That's gone national.
That's a real beauty.
But, and I want to say that this is so amazing in the time that we live in. Since the unfortunate death of Kobe Bryant, and it happened in the fog, it was an unexpected thing with the helicopter going down. There has been, in the past 48 hours, because everything we're watched by everything. Doorbells, cams, it's out there today, and it's so shocking. But yesterday, there was a video that a guy was taking, and they confirmed based on timestamp and all of that, the guy actually had footage of Kobe Bryant's helicopter flying oddly in the sky. And it was loud, it was noisy. And you could see the helicopter. You didn't see the crash or anything. You saw the helicopter.
Yeah, and keep in mind, it's not a small helicopter.
No, it's a big helicopter. So I'm looking at today's news and various websites. We're watched.
Mm-hmm.
A family's Ring doorbell camera was on, showing the street. But it had the sound of his helicopter flying over, I believe it's a woman, flying over her residence. And you can hear the chopper go away, and then you hear the crash. And I'm saying to myself, for crying out loud, what the era that we live in, where people who just have cameras set up around their house and streaming and doorbells can capture something that, when it happened, was a total mystery of what happened. And you've got the sound of the chopper and the crash. You've got the pictures of the chopper going over people's homes. And then you look back 30, 40 years. We don't have any clean proof of when Kennedy got shot because nobody had any kind of camera.
Except for Abe Zapruder.
An 8mm.
Now,
it's incredible to me.
On that same track, there's a couple of different points on that. But I want you to think, because you're thinking about, how times have changed. It hasn't been that long. Let's go back to Ferguson, Missouri, and Black Lives Matter, and the whole that started the kneeling and everything else. Have you noticed what's happened since then?
Well, we got officers with body cams on now.
And
boy, everything is recorded.
And boy, those stories, you don't hear many of them.
And the thing is, but here's the other deal. Because they got the body cams on now, that's a whole other lucrative thing because there's more cop shows on. What's the one that live PD? And then you got live body cam.
No, but I mean, I
understand what you're saying.
I think people are hip to it now, but when they first started to have the body cams, if you remember, we talked about it on the show, there were a number of cases where a cop was accused of, he did this racist thing
or
and called
somebody
me this.
Starts filming it halfway through and you don't know what happened.
And then you see the body cam.
But with the body cam?
Nothing like that happened. But
it's changing.
Here is, to me, the scariest part of it.
All right, then we got a break.
There's so much of it.
Yes.
With the overload, we won't be able to believe anything because it's now plausible that someone just happened to have a doorbell or someone just happened to be filming and they want to move an agenda and do something completely fake.
It well, gives according the to makes per-
yeah, instead of going, what was somebody doing out there with the? Oh, yep. Sure, they had a Ring doorbell.
But this Ring, I mean, you don't see anything, you hear it, but it's spooky. Hey,
I don't want to hear that.
Got to take a break
because I know what happened.
I know, and it's sad. I'm gonna take a break. If I have time in the audio grab,
has it gone too far though?
What has gone too far? Cameras?
Kobe. Maybe.
Kobe? I don't know.
Because I read something, and I don't know if I got the whole story. But in the entire league, is it now no one will wear 8 or 24?
I think they're pushing that. Over 2 million on a petition want the logo changed.
Okay, all right. I'd say pick one. You don't have that many numbers.
We got to take a break. Special edition of the audio grab bag today. Depending on how time goes, I may make it a standalone. An absolutely fascinating story.
From the local bean?
No, this is in the grab bag. About the first Super Bowl. And I am amazed, and it's taken on new life. I'll explain when we get to it.
Could it be a grab bag special?
That's what I'm saying.
That would be something.
So I don't know if I'll do it within the grab bag, pending on time. And I'm running out of time right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, to continue, please warmly welcome with us
Stan and Haney Afternoons. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. We've got the grab bag, Stan's audio grab bag, coming up here in just a second. Coming up on the show today, Are You Smarter Than Haney? Chance for you to win a prize. I believe we've got Stone Temple Pilot and Nickelback tickets if you're smarter than Haney. I have to say this before we start the grab bag, because we were just talking about cameras everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who I will not mention, a friend of ours, she was in a car accident today. And she was backing out of her driveway in her neighborhood in a car that ran a stop sign and accelerated as she was pulling out of her driveway, hit her. And I mean to the point where the car did a probably like a 180.
Spun around.
All captured on her Ring camera on her door. And you can see the video footage of the car way off in the distance, rolling through a stop sign, turning, accelerating, hitting. And unbeknownst to the driver that hit her, all captured on film, frame by frame.
The driver take off, or?
The driver, let's put it this way, the driver that hit our friend had front-end damage and probably can't drive. But it would have been...
Did they try?
No. Okay. It would have been her word against the others. Except it's all caught on camera.
Frame by frame.
Frame by frame.
And also, You know, the good news is rare. We take it where we can get it. But 201 Americans rescued from Wuhan.
Yep. In the U.S.
They got them out. They did it right. They had the screening, two separate screenings before they got on the plane. They landed to refuel in Anchorage. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
I mean,
I was with somebody that got out of China this weekend. Sorry.
Well, certainly it's not one of the areas affected.
Yeah, it was. It quarantined. So he got out before the quarantine went down. Offered a mask, but he declined.
Oh. And very handsy with
you. Yep. Clammy.
But they stopped to refuel in Alaska. I guess they did additional screening there. And from Alaska, they flew to an Air Force base in California. They're doing it all right. And the one takeaway, the moment that I picture that must have just been such a big deal to the people on that plane, is they said you couldn't hear yourself think when the pilot announced, "Welcome to the United States of America."
Yep. This is a great country. And I say that with all due seriousness. When I went to Europe for a month, and you see some of the greatest sights you're ever going to see and experiences that you never thought you'd witness, let me tell you something. It's the greatest feeling in the world when you land back in the United States. Period.
Well, because the great things that you see in Europe, Stan, I don't think Europe's the heir to that. We are.
Yep. Well, it's true. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. I don't know if this segment I'll have time to get to Stan's grab bag special feature. We'll see. Well, if not, we'll do it next break. But we'll see. A lot of people driving around right now are probably passing a McDonald's. And a lot of the McDonald's are being remodeled, and they're almost they're trying to be more like a bistro thing. They got the coffees. They've got all the stuff going on, remodeling McDonald's. When Haney and I were kids, when we first discovered our first cheeseburger.
Oh, what a glorious day that was.
Mom would take you there because we loved the advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, when Haney and I first saw McDonald's advertising, it was the 70s, and it was still the psychedelic, hippie. Well, here's a McDonald's commercial from the early 70s.
Ronald's gonna take you on a trip through McDonald's land. There's thick shake volcanoes. You'll even find a French fry patch. Now just turn around and see if you won't find a hamburger patch. As you're heading for a McDonald's, in McDonald's land, a McDonald's.
Groovy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how we grew up. Dateline.
Why am I picturing like Josie and the Pussycats?
Oh, yeah, that's that era. Dateline, Seminole County, Florida. That's your Sanford area.
Place you're involuntarily familiar with.
Just outside Orlando. Orlando's Orange County. Sanford is Seminole County. Great football team up there. That's where Tim Raines played. But
where Tim Raines played football?
And yes, football and baseball.
What did he play in football?
I don't remember. He used to, at the high school games, he always used to be there if he wasn't working. Dateline, Seminole County. A lady was actually the getaway driver for her 15-year-old son while he robbed a convenience store.
It is so important to be supportive of your kids and
their
dreams.
Anything they want to do. Yep. Yeah. Here's The
you always want to be the cool mom.
Here's the Seminole County Sheriff's spokesperson.
This suspect was a willing participant in that she knew that this armed robbery was going to happen. She served as a lookout, and she was there also as this minor affected their escape from the store. Had the store clerk decided to use some sort of force to defend themselves, this minor could have been injured or even killed. It was a terrible decision on her part.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Yep. No, I'm supporting her kid in just about any endeavor they want to do.
Well, you know, you remember when you were a kid, you knew that friend that had the cool mom.
Yeah.
That's her.
We talked about it. It's national. Guy in Naples gave his house, well, let's just say a very abstract paint job.
Well, it sounds all. If you're trying to picture, if you're trying to picture the paint job, think back to that psychedelic McDonald's commercial.
Yes.
That's what it looks like.
Basically, it looks just like in which he did. He just threw about 20 different paint cans,
but
different
a lot of it
on the outside of his walls.
And this is in a Naples gated community where everything's supposed to be the same.
His neighbors are angry, obviously. A, lowers property value of other homes, and they...
And I guess it's the house itself is in the neighbor, you know, without the paint job, in the neighborhood of $500,000.
But a lawyer says suing to make him repaint that house could take years in the courts.
Look at that.
Right down the street in Naples. Here you go.
I absolutely can't believe someone would do something like this. I've just never seen anything like this in my life.
I have an investment in a community, and I've spent $500,000 on a home. I don't want someone to have a house like that that's going to bring down the value of the neighborhood. I'm sure if the neighbors say, look, we want this fixed right away, litigation doesn't guarantee you that. Litigation could take years.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all why someone would go to this extreme.
Yeah, and they can't do anything about it.
Well, the poor man sounds so perplexed, I feel like I ought to explain it to him in one word. Drugs.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, he also painted his van all the colors of the rainbow and wrote prominently on the side, "Who's Omar?" Question mark.
What the... What?
Well, the, you know... It's a creative mind.
I don't know how comfortable everybody will be hearing this.
Rob's trying to find out who Omar is, and nothing pops up but Mullah Omar from Congress.
Well, Omar is in his own mind. Again, I caution everybody. British talk show had an 80-year-old woman on, wanted to talk about her love life. I guess it's romance as a senior.
No.
And it got way out of hand.
No.
It got way out of hand.
Please. I'm begging. Please.
I guess it had been 35 years since she had sex.
Oh, God.
And I guess, she's found love again, and she's 80, and...
The first night.
Oh, the first night. Pretty rough. It was rough. Nobody had been near me for 35 years. I thought I was a virgin again. Can I say what we used? A whole tube of KY jelly?
Oh. Yeah, you can say that.
And the thing is, I couldn't walk the next day. I felt as if I'd been riding a horse. Saddle sore wasn't in it. We got over that. The sex is not the important thing.
Right.
Because I can't sleep with him. You get an elbow in the face, a knee in the back.
Oh, he's
and
a
this
fidgeter.
Is just, oh, he's terrible.
Right. You're filthy. You're a filthy old lady. Filthy.
Should be ashamed of yourself.
This is pretty cool. Another geriatric, but not filthy. Then we'll take a break and come back and do my feature. Let me follow me on this. This is pretty amazing. There is a 96, I think she's 96.1 years old. She's from Canada. Her name is Jean Moffitt. She never got to go to college because her parents only had enough money to send her brother. So she didn't get a chance to go to college. So instead, she became an expert ham radio operator.
Okay.
Back in the day, in well before our time, people used to have the ham radios and, you know, tune in places from all over the world. They would be their hobby.
Yeah. They're kind of fascinating.
Yeah. Well, last week, she got to check off her biggest bucket list item by using her ham radio to talk to an astronaut on the International Space Station.
Welcome to the Ontario Science Center and the manifestation of a bucket wish I have had for many, many years. This is very exciting to me.
This is Victor Echo 3, Oscar Sierra Charlie.
Would you come in again, please?
I'm really, really honored to be the one talking to you.
Absolutely. The highlight of my life. I wish I could have understood what the commander was saying.
Yeah, that's always a bonus.
Yeah, there she is, right there at her controls.
And you can tell she takes a lot of pride in saying things like Sierra, Victor, Charlie.
Yeah, takes a lot of pride in that. She's done it forever. When we come back, I'm going to have a Stan's audio grab bag special. The first Super Bowl was January 15th, 1967.
And when you think about the Super Bowl now, the early days of the Super Bowl, totally different scene.
Yep.
They weren't really considered all that important.
Two networks, CBS and NBC, broadcast the game. They both had deals with the NFL and the AFL. Both networks taped over the first Super Bowl. And there is not a known copy of the full game that exists. Except a few years back, when a man went through his father's things, found two reels of videotape, not VHS, wasn't invented. Just came across these. Put the reels on, fed them through, and started to watch. And saw in beautiful living color, with the announcers and everything, the first Super Bowl
announcers,
game.
Commercials, everything as it aired.
Everything. Chances are, you'll never see it. I'll have the details when we come back. It's there, and the quality is spectacular.
So it's not that it doesn't exist, we're just not allowed to see it.
For 50 years, they thought it didn't exist. I'll tell you why you can't see it either, and what the owner of the videotape is planning to do. And I got some great sound. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, it's Dave and Chuck the Freak. And now, back to Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock. Everything that rocks.
Thank you, Dave and Chuck the Freak. Stan and Haney here. Wednesday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. In about 30 minutes or less, about 25 minutes, are you smarter than Haney? The lovely Karen cannot come in today, so her replacement, Carly, will join us for Are You Smarter Than
Haney?
She
did good last week.
She did very good last week, and if you're lucky enough to defeat Mark Haney in Are You Smarter Than Haney, I think we have Stone Temple Pilots and Nickelback tickets
available to the winner. Also, 4 o'clock safe word coming up in about 47 minutes, 48 minutes. Special feature in the audio grab bag that I was going to save for this break. Given time, I'll also have the local beat. If not, I'll do it later on. But you will have Stan's local beat as well. So I was telling you before the break that the first Super Bowl game that was played on January 15th, 1967, two networks broadcast the game, CBS and NBC. CBS had the announcers.
So there was plenty of coverage.
They had, CBS did the film, or did the game. It was pool coverage. NBC picked up the CBS feed.
So CBS did the cameras and directing?
Yes. And CBS had their own announcers, and NBC had their own announcers.
But NBC's announcers were at the mercy of what CBS
Correct.
Was looking at.
Ray Scott, Jack Whitaker, Pat Summerall, and Frank Gifford on the CBS side of things. For NBC, the play-by-play was done by Kurt Gowdy. Only time in Super Bowl history.
How many of them have we spoken to?
A good number of them.
Uh-huh.
But only time in Super Bowl history that two networks showed the game at the same time.
And why was that?
NBC had the AFL contract. CBS had the NFL contract. And they couldn't decide who should be the one to go first. So they said, we'll do it together. Then for Super Bowl II, CBS will get it. Then for III, NBC. And they would go back and forth. And they kept going that way until ABC wanted to get involved, and then Fox wanted to get involved, and that's the way it went for a long time. Both networks taped over the Super Bowl.
Now, why would they do that? We think about the Super Bowl, and you'd think that's something that would obviously be preserved. What was going on back then?
They had no idea. They didn't know what it was going to be. They had no idea. So
the Super Bowl was not nearly the deal it is now.
It has grown so much. Let's put it this way.
Because it would be unthinkable now not to have a record of a Super Bowl.
They couldn't.
Unthinkable.
They couldn't fill the stadium for the first Super Bowl. By the time Super Bowl number two came, which I believe was at the Orange Bowl in Miami, it was sold out. It was a huge hit afterwards. But this was played in Los Angeles.
So the first one, it was kind of uncharted territory.
Yeah, neither one really wanted. Well, the AFL wanted to play, but Vince Lombardi didn't want to play that game.
He'd already won.
He had already won the NFL championship. Well, and I told you, for 50 years, they thought no tape of the actual broadcast. We've got the NFL films, but no broadcast footage of the entire game existed. We found out 50 years ago that a man recorded the game.
Which wasn't easy to do then.
It was super hard. Nobody had VCRs. Nobody had home videotape players.
That format didn't exist.
It was where he worked. And he decided to record it so he could watch it. I guess he had to work. He dies. His son, Tony Haupt, goes looking through his dad's things and finds reels of videotape. The holy grail of football coverage. He is now in the works.
Because it was thought lost forever.
Yep. He's putting out a new documentary. And it's in the works about being able to show that first Super Bowl game. Here's a little clip from his documentary. He's trying to get funding from, how do you get that funding?
GoFundMe.
GoFundMe. Here's a little bit here for you of his documentary, which in this clip includes Jerry Kramer, who played in the game for Green Bay, and the owner, Troy. There you go.
In Los Angeles, the first Super Bowl game puts the Packers against the Chiefs.
When the game was held in 1967, nobody thought that Super Bowl I would become the event that it is today.
This first meeting between the champs of the NFL and the AFL.
It's disbelief, knowing what the game has become. And they did what with it? They taped over it?
The first broadcast, what every single American saw.
It was actually taped over purposefully with soap operas.
The days of our lives.
VHS or beta wasn't available to people at that time. Both copies from two separate entities felt it wasn't worthy of keeping and erased them.
This game meant so much.
And he might even add into this. This might be, I'll see if it's in the clips that I have. And I said this, Sports Illustrated was talking about it. The Super Bowl I, since nobody even knew that it was around anymore, was called the Holy Grail of sports until somebody found it.
Sports Illustrated had an article calling the missing tapes of Super Bowl I the Holy Grail of sports.
Estimated value, more than $1 million. I happened to see these blue boxes. One of them said Super Bowl I. Troy proceeded to tell me how his father had taped the very first Super Bowl.
His concern on his deathbed was, don't forget about those tapes.
I don't think that he had any idea there was no other copy.
The Museum of Radio and Television had the equipment to run these quadruplex tapes.
And they started playing the tape for us.
We're underway from the Super Bowl.
Wow. And what was on those tapes was spectacular. And the way that it was handled. Oh, okay. This will explain it, but I'll tell you quickly. So he finds these tapes of his dad's. Estimated value $1 million. No other copy of the game is known to exist.
And he's got it.
He's got it. You know why you haven't seen it? He contacted the NFL. He knows the value of it, $1 million, at least. He contacts the stingy NFL, the same NFL that doesn't pay the halftime talent. The halftime talent pays the NFL. The same NFL that makes the military displays out on the field. Makes them pay for it. The NFL doesn't pay the military anything to do that. They offered him $30,000 for it. You got that? We'll take it. We'll give you $30,000. He said, no. I'll see what it's like on the open market. I'll make it available. And the NFL said, don't you see?
No, they'd rather screw this guy than let people see it.
Yes, they said, don't you see what every game says? Without the express written consent of the NFL is prohibited. We're not letting you show this. You're not going to see it. You can show little snippets like what we're looking at. Here he goes and talks about it.
Initially, my reaction was, this is finding a great missing sports memorabilia that the NFL and the sports world is just going to go crazy about.
They weren't as receptive as we all thought they would be.
Early on, the NFL came to us and said, we'll give you, I think it was like $30,000.
In the event we were to try and sell the tapes, the NFL would consider it an infringement on the copyright and they would sue us. This huge $12 billion industry has put up roadblocks to us in getting this tape out there to the public.
Yeah, he can't exhibit it anywhere.
So he would have been better off not even approaching the NFL and doing it on the down low to a private collector where it would never be seen.
Correct. He wanted it to be seen. You look at the clips they have, it's fascinating. In living color.
Now, if the NFL was not involved and didn't know it existed, can you imagine what somebody would pay for that is a collector?
And so now the NFL is basically saying, you're not going to watch this game. I found this as well. The audio of the game from both CBS and NBC is readily available. Here's a rare little snippet from the NBC broadcast of the first Super Bowl. Just the audio of the television broadcast. Just a little clip here for you.
Well, I like a lot of people to go around for.
Hold on, what's that one? Oh, I got an extra one here I didn't know about. All right.
Bonus.
Yeah, it's a bonus. Hold on. I'm surprised I missed this. Jack Whitaker, who just passed away this year, was one of the first broadcasters of the Super Bowl. Along with friend of the show, Fred the Hammer Williamson, who was a player in the first Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs. Both hope at some point the NFL will allow the game tape to be played and enjoyed by everyone.
Well, I like a lot of people to go around for it and see it. I don't know how many are left.
With me is Jack Whitaker.
Stream it for free. Be a hero to football fans.
Yeah, stream it for free. Now, as I said, here's a rare clip of the NBC broadcast, the audio only, of the very first Super Bowl and the first touchdown pass. From Bart Starr to Max McGee.
And the throw is hit, and it is complete. The McGee touchdown. Max McGee right over the middle from Tulane. And just as Starr was releasing that ball, he was hit hard, but McGee wide open down the middle. And the old veteran of the Packers scores the first touchdown of the Super Bowl game.
Well, he made a magnificent catch on that. That was a one-hander. Beautiful grab. And there again, we had a running situation with about 2.5 yards to go. Starr didn't fool with it at all. He hit.
Some rare tape from the broadcast. Totally amazing. Now, the NBC tape has not been found. It's the CBS one that they found. NBC one is totally lost. And Super Bowl number 2 between the Packers and the Raiders, which was broadcast on CBS, same thing happened. Totally lost. Recorded over.
Ugh. And you know what? That's a thing of the past now. And it ties in with how you were, what you were talking about earlier in the show, where now everything's recorded.
Everything.
Whether you mean to or not. Helicopter crash, car crash, people walking down the street. It's all recorded now.
Yep. As Fred the Hammer Williamson just said, stream the damn thing. Let people see it. Because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful picture. Hall of Famers.
That's the only Super Bowl that I wasn't around for.
Yeah. What's the first Super Bowl you can remember? The first one that you... Mine is two phases. One, I remember a Super Bowl where I knew the game was on. I knew my folks were watching it. I was sick in bed with the flu, and I had a little black and white TV in my room, and that Super Bowl was on. It was the following year that I really knew about the Super Bowl. What's the first Super Bowl you remember?
The first one I remember would be Super Bowl III. That's the first one I remember, and I remember
it'd
it.
Be two.
Three.
Yeah, but you'd be 2 years old.
I'd be three.
66. So you were a year old when the first Super Bowl was played. 67. January 6th. You were a month away from your first birthday when the first Super Bowl was played. Mm-hmm. And then you were a month away from your second birthday when Super Bowl II was played, and a month away from your third birthday, so you were not yet three when the third Super Bowl was played.
Yeah, but if you count the time when you're in your mommy's tummy.
Yeah.
See, no, first... I remember that because, obviously, I don't remember the actual game.
Right.
What I remember is it was a big deal because it was happening in Miami.
Yeah.
And Namath's guarantee, because that was just... That clip was just played over and over and over again.
See, the first game I remember watching was Super Bowl IV, which was the Vikings and the Chiefs. The first one where I sat from kickoff to the end of the game with my dad and watched the game was Super Bowl V, which was the Colts and the Cowboys. Beginning to end. And I remember I was very upset because my dad was a huge Johnny Unitas fan, and he got hurt very early in that game. And who had to replace him? Earl Morrill. But the Cowboys wound up winning that Super Bowl. And what they claimed was the sloppiest Super Bowl ever played.
The first one that I really remember is, of course, the perfect season.
All right, 72, and that would be the 73 Super Bowl. Yeah, I remember that well. Yeah, it's amazing. And we're up to 54 now.
Like I said, I remember the concept of Super Bowl III.
Right.
Because it was the... It just seemed to be everywhere to me. And by the time we get to the Dolphins, I remember my dad, as the season wore on, was explaining to me the way these guys are playing, they could do something nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, undefeated. And they did it. At that time, I was collecting those Sunoco's football stamps.
But it was explained to me, this is a big deal.
We'll be back. Are You Smarter Than Haney is next. A random Stan and Haney listener. Go head-to-head with Mark Haney. You could win.
Two men, two microphones, and way too much baggage. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Oh, I forgot to ask you, Carly, is your headphones all right?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, good. Stan and Haney here, and you can hear, Carly is in for Are You Smarter Than Haney. Karen is here, but can't be in the studio today. She's a little busy taking care of things. But Carly's good at this game.
She did good last week.
She did very well last week. Are You Smarter Than Haney? Six categories. First person to get to all six will be the winner. You must get at least two right when you're challenging Haney to even be eligible for a prize. Carly is your lifeline. She can be used for one of the categories that you wish not to answer. She'll answer it for you. Both Haney and the player get to use Carly one time. If you defeat Haney, up for grabs, well, you'll win. Nickelback and Stone Temple Pilot tickets. They're going to be at the Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater on August the 16th, and we have your tickets if you're smarter than Haney.
If you think you are smarter than me, I would like to see you. Can try it. Stan's got prizes, yours for free. If you prove you're smarter than me. It's not easy.
It's hard work.
Stan's trick questions. One.
Nothing trick.
Jerk. All those prizes yours for free.
You say nothing trick, but you don't deny being a jerk.
Oh, I don't deny that.
Stan's the host. I'm the one who knows the f***ing most. If you dare to disagree.
Incidentally, this was not auto-tuned.
That's true. No auto-tune on this.
You couldn't tell, could you?
It'd be fun to watch you sing this.
That's my f***ing job. If you think you're smarter than me, I politely disagree.
277-9600, random Stan and Haney listener. That doesn't mean the first person I pick up, if they don't have a good phone line or...
You don't like their attitude.
Right. Inability to communicate properly for the game. I'll move on to the next caller. If you answer correctly, you'll hear this. Incorrectly. Taking too long. And you lose. There you go. Carly, give me the signal.
Release the phones.
Phone lines are released. 277-9600. Are you smarter than Haney? Ahoy, who's this?
This is Mikey.
Mikey, you excited that you're talking to Stan and Haney right now?
Absolutely.
Oh, you can hear it.
Yeah, you can hear the through. Have you? Would you like to play Are You Smarter Than Haney?
Yes.
All right, and your name's Mikey?
Correct.
All right, Mikey. So nobody calls you Mike, it's just Mikey.
I've been called Michael. And
but you prefer Mikey.
Yes.
All right. Say hi to Carly. She's your lifeline.
Hello, Carly.
Hey, Mikey.
All right. Let's begin. The categories. People and places. Entertainment. History. Science and nature. Science. Sports and leisure. A wild card. And we begin with Mark Haney. Remember, Mikey, be listening to the question, because if he cannot answer it, you can steal and get the point. All right?
Sounds good.
All right. So, please calm down. Here we go. Haney,
have a little decorum.
Yes, please. Haney, category, Haney.
People and places.
People and places. Haney, what Louisiana city is nicknamed the Big Easy?
You mean the one that's also known as the Crescent City?
Yes.
New Orleans.
You are correct. New Orleans. Go ahead, Mikey. Category?
Sports and leisure.
Sports and leisure. Which basketball team had reserved sideline seats for actor Jack Nicholson? Always a seat there for Jack.
Los Angeles Lakers.
You are correct. The Los Angeles Lakers. And we are rolling. Haney, entertainment, history, science and nature, sports and leisure, wild card.
History.
History for Mark Haney. This is a good one. Haney, who was the only one of the first five presidents not from Virginia? Who was the only one of the first five presidents not from Virginia?
John Adams.
You are correct. John Adams. Did you know that?
I did, actually.
All right.
I rebuke you, sir.
How dare you, sir? Mikey, people and places, entertainment, history, science and nature, wild card.
Entertainment.
Remember, you have Carly as a lifeline. Let me know when you want to use her before I ask the question, but you want to answer entertainment.
Yes.
Mikey, what rock group had the smash hit Appetite for Destruction?
Guns N' Roses.
Yep. Thank you for using that bell properly, Rob. Greatly appreciated. Haney, entertainment, science and nature, sports and leisure, wild card.
Sports and leisure.
Sports and leisure. You already have the category, Mikey.
Okay.
Haney, what branch of the Boy Scouts is for 8 to 10-year-olds?
Cub Scouts.
Yes, sir. Cub Scouts. In sports and leisure, that category is closed. Mikey, people and places, history, science and nature, wild card.
People and places.
People and places. Mikey, what group did Diana Ross star in? Would you like multiple choice? I can offer you multiple choice.
Yes, because I believe I know this answer, but multiple choice would be...
All right. It is offered, Haney. Again, we're using the easier questions. Carly, you know the answer to this one, don't you? No, don't say it out loud. Mikey, was she in Sha-Na-Na, The Crystals, or The Supremes?
The Supremes.
You are correct. Diana Ross and The Supremes. We are all tied. That category is closed. Haney, entertainment, science and nature, a wild card.
Entertainment.
Entertainment. Okay. You all right there? You all right there, Mikey?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's all right. All right. Yep, that's good. Let's pipe down over there, Mr. Excitement. Haney, what movie's four lead characters were shrunk to 1/4 inch in height? What movie's four lead characters were shrunk to 1/4 inch in height?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
You are correct. Did you know that, Carly?
Yes, it is.
She was nodding. She was right there with me.
All right. Mikey.
Yeah.
History, science and nature, wild card. You have Carly as a lifeline. You could use her if you wanted. Although you're playing very well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Science and nature.
Science and nature. All right. Mikey, what animals do Malaysians train to harvest coconuts? What animals do Malaysians train to harvest coconuts?
I could really use a multiple choice again.
No multiple choice. They don't offer that. That's right. Thank you, Rob. I need an answer.
Chimpanzee.
Now, what is your answer?
He's giving you multiple choices. You pick the correct answers,
Stan.
You're
giving me multiple answers, and I need one or the other.
No, he's giving you multiple choice, and you're supposed to pick the correct answer.
No, that's not the way this game is played.
I guess at this point I'd have to go with monkeys.
You'd be all right doing monkey. Go ahead. Monkey's right.
That's the correct answer. You know what I thought would have been a much more entertaining answer?
What?
Rats.
Yeah. They climb right up that tree, gnaw on that thing, that branch. And
bet your palm rats would do that.
You're darn right they would. You know about palm rats in here, don't you?
No.
It's best she doesn't.
It's best you don't. See, look above your head. See,
no,
right?
Don't point it
see
out
where
to
it's
her.
Been all gnawed at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We had a...
you leave them alone. They won't bother you.
We had a...
They're look, just up there. That's
they're
their
they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had professionals come in and take them out. Because they had gotten in through...
Tommy took them out.
No.
Yes, he did. He took several rats out of here.
Do these look like regular rats?
Cal was our producer then when the rats were in, and I remember I got so...
I remember Tommy going up there with the trap.
That was D-Train.
D-Train did it too, but Tommy was up there.
He might have gone up there to retrieve something else we lost up there.
Well, there was a bat that got loose.
There was a bat, a giant with a, 4-foot wingspan.
No way.
It got loose in there, yeah. Our bad. but... Our producer caught one of the tree rats that were in there.
No, I remember Cal catching one.
And
yeah.
It was like, kill that thing. We had traps.
No, he used like a Havahard or something, didn't he?
He did not. He grabbed it with his bare hands and started going, it's okay, baby. Oh, it's okay. And walked it outside and let it go. Well, I'm like, what the hell did you do that for?
Well, he lives an alternate lifestyle. I don't understand his love of rats.
Yeah, he's an animal lover. Haney.
I don't think that extends to rats.
I don't. Does it, you think it extends to rats?
No.
No, I mean either. Kill them.
Look.
And you know people who've had them as pets, which is weird.
Well, that's like a lab rat, a white rat.
I don't know.
Not one.
That's snake food.
Not yes. Not a damn sewer rat.
You know, I understand you look at a little puppy and go, "Aw," but you look at a rat, there's nothing there.
Nope. Sorry, Mikey. Haney, science and nature, wild card.
Science!
Let's see. Huh. While we're on the topic of monkeys, Haney, what eastern country has more monkeys than any other in the world?
Do I get a multiple choice?
No multiple choice. What eastern country has more monkeys than any other in the world?
India.
You are correct. It is India. Nice job. You, Haney, are at match point with only wild card left. Mikey, history, wild card.
History.
History, you sure about that?
No.
All right. Would you like to use Carly?
Sure.
All right. Which one would you like her to answer? History?
Yes.
All right. All right there. You sure you don't suffer from, like, ADD or something like that? Hold on.
What do you mean? Because he's just bouncing off the walls?
Yeah, bouncing off the wall. You're crazy, man. Let's see.
Yeah, tone it down.
Yeah. All right. In history, Carly will answer this for you, Mikey. Let's see.
Okay.
All right. You're welcome. Carly, for Mikey, what do stories say little George Washington chopped down? What do they say he chopped down?
The apple tree? Is it the cherry tree?
It's some kind of tree. That's incorrect. It is the cherry tree.
Is it the cherry tree?
Yep.
I have to go with your first answer.
I cannot tell a lie.
Yeah. Here's how this works. Control goes to Haney. Haney, you are at match point with wild card.
And
hold on. I'm waiting for...
You got
that ain't it. That ain't it. See, I compliment you on the bell.
He doesn't know what he's
wild
doing.
Card. What? Here's how this goes, Mikey.
See, you complimented him on
the
bell.
See that?
And now it's lax.
If Haney gets the wild card category, game is over, Mikey. If he misses it, you can steal and have control and be at match point and can win the game. It all hinges on Haney's answer, whether you are in the driver's seat or not, to win the game.
Finish him.
All right.
Haney, it is wild card that you have left.
Stan, I am all about redemption, and I believe Carly might like to answer that
all
for
right.
me.
All right, in wild card.
Is that how it's pronounced?
I think so.
How is it pronounced?
Wild card.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Carly, this is for the match for Haney.
Finish him.
What finger is extended to indicate bad, B-A-D, bad, in sign language? What finger is extended to indicate bad in sign language?
The middle finger?
That is incorrect.
Would make perfect sense, though.
It would. Mikey, you can steal in wild card. This is falling in your lap. This is falling right into your lap. I need an answer. What finger is extended to indicate bad in sign language?
I'm going to go with the index finger.
That is incorrect.
My first thought is what I should have went with.
What was that?
Pinky.
It is the pinky. You would have gotten that. You have control, though, Mikey. History or wild card?
History.
History. Mikey, what New England state takes its name from two French words meaning green mountain? Green mountain. This New England state takes its name from two French words meaning green mountain. What is that state? Three seconds. What did you say? You said Massachusetts?
Yes.
That's incorrect.
Can I steal, please?
You can't steal, but you can tell me what the right answer is.
Vermont.
It is Vermont. You're right. Haney, back to you to win the game in Wild Card. I guess it's
hopefully it's a non-sign language question.
What was the one thing that the little turtle who lived in the box couldn't catch?
Oh, what? You're asking me nonsense.
I'm just reading it. It's like some kind of nursery rhyme here, I guess.
You don't even know what it is.
I do know what it is because I looked at the answer. What's the one thing that the little turtle who lived in the box couldn't catch?
A fly?
That is incorrect.
I don't know about the turtle that lived in the box.
You can steal, Mikey. I need an answer, sport.
I'm not sure that.
What's he saying?
Nothing.
You know what? What? Hold on. I ain't got time to hold on. Buzz him. Now.
In my opinion, the game's over and I won.
So far, so good. I'm going to last try, Mikey. History or wild card?
Hey.
History?
Yes.
All right. What shook the San Francisco area for 15 seconds on October 17th, 1989?
An earthquake.
Yes, an earthquake. Oh, man. Haney?
What?
Wild
what kind
card.
Of question was that?
I want to know what the turtle couldn't catch.
Oh, me. Turtle couldn't catch me.
Couldn't catch Stan?
No, the word me.
Oh.
Haney, wild card for the game. Don't criticize what I gave him, because I'm giving you this. What British detective is often credited with saying... Elementary, my dear Watson.
Can I get multiple choice?
No, there's no multiple choice.
No S. Sherlock Holmes.
You are correct, Sherlock Holmes. You win, Haney. Mikey, good effort. You have to say something to Haney, and I'll give you the prize.
Haney, I wish I would have. The sign language was the pinky finger, but Haney, you are smarter than me.
I'm sorry about that, Mikey.
Yeah.
You deserve a
That's
win.
All right. Hold on. Carly, thank you.
Thanks for having me. Sorry to know the sign language question either.
Yep, pinky. We're
You bad.
We're about a minute late. I got to do the safe word.
I always thought they were just telling me to hang loose, but I guess they don't like me.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll be back, Stan and Haney.
Bang, sizzling, hissling, after hissle on 96K Rizzle. That's right, we're quite hip, but on the sharp cutting edge of 1999.
Bitch.
Well, it's more serrated than sharp, but it gets the job done.
Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hi, everybody, it's Stan and Haney. Safe word for 4 o'clock has passed. You're a minute late. Your next chance at a thou will be with Rob Show at 6 o'clock when he has a fresh new safe word for you to hit the G-spot. We're going to be checking traffic here for your drive home. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, and today's local beat. I got a couple of real beauties that are tied in. Together because of the violence.
You know,
the real beauties.
Doesn't ever seem to be a shortage of real beauties on the local beat.
There's not. there never is. And this one was a rough night last night.
Yeah, it was.
I'm talking about in the city that is Fort Myers and or Cape Coral. I know for you it was also, but I'm talking on a broader spectrum. One thing on the board, and it's a disabled vehicle, Clayton Court and Boy Scout Drive in Fort Myers, and you're up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it's going to be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? What's he going to deliver to you in less than an hour? Well, he's going to tell you. He's got today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know. Well, if there is one thing that Americans cannot get enough of, it's a chicken sandwich.
Oh, you better believe a chicken sandwich. Just the taste of chicken.
And it's ignited a full-on chicken sandwich war amongst the fast food chains. And we'll tell you the sad consequence of that.
In less than an hour.
The hottest video game console of 1982 wants to become the hottest hotel chain of 2020.
Details on that in less than an hour. What is it, Nintendo? What is that it?
Nope.
Nintendo 2?
Nope.
The Atari?
You're getting closer.
Okay.
But that was only supposed to come out in less than an hour.
Right.
On the...
This was just a teaser.
Yeah.
Teaser.
I may not do it now.
All right, well then don't. I was right. It was Atari, wasn't it?
Aw.
Aw, what?
A man used coffee to rescue kittens frozen to the road.
Aw. What?
Well... We've known people this dumb, but it still pains me to do stories like this.
What?
The police have to rescue a car thief who somehow locked himself inside the car, couldn't get out. And finally... A new viral video. A new mom goes viral... for bringing a Nerf gun to keep her husband awake in the hospital room. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. Oh, easy. 4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark.
Stan.
Hi, everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
What's that I smell?
Chicken!
Aha! You know, what's going on with Dr. Oz?
I don't know. He's going on. I see him on Fox a lot. He comes on in the morning sometimes and tells you things you need to worry about and things you don't.
Yeah, I thought he was like, his show was like medical tips
yeah,
and
he's
stuff.
Got his show.
But then I see him and Dog the Bounty Hunter is breaking down on his show.
Really?
And
well, he's talking about, you know, his wife dying and all that.
Oh, he's not talking about that. He's talking about he wants to marry now one of his son's ex-girlfriends.
He proposed on the show.
Yeah, Moon Angel.
Yeah, but it was about, you know, health. And I guess he's been on before and. Dr. Oz is, like, taking his blood pressure, and it's off the charts.
And then there was another story that had nothing to do with what you would think Dr. Oz does.
Well, he is a doctor, unlike Dr. Phil. who's a doctor of nothing.
He's a doctor of common sense, you dumbass. You're stupid.
Hey, you been drinking today?
Well, it's good to know between the global pandemic coming out of the Umbrella Corporation there in China and, well, bad flu season to begin with, the CDC has got their hands full. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things you didn't know about the Centers for Disease Control.
Top things you didn't know about the Center for Disease Control.
Now, I can't guarantee this, but I just got a hunch. If you asked, they'd probably send you a bunch of free condoms. It obtains most of its specimens from the hot tub at the Bachelor Mansion. If you go to their website, you'll find the CDC offers great tips on how to be healthy. And we do a great job of ignoring them. It studies alcoholism, drug abuse, STDs, Charlie Sheen. Yeah. You get it. In order to be in charge of it, you have to let a bunch of venomous snakes and spiders bite you like the guy on YouTube.
Yeah, man.
You think this is funny?
Hey, I don't
think... You really do?
I don't think we brought you in the conversation.
You guys think you're funny.
Yeah, I know. I don't know about that, but I do know this. Nobody likes you.
You really do?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like you.
The CDC's greatest victory?
Yeah.
Combating Bieber fever.
Oh, yeah.
Sucks harder than ever.
That's right,
sure
Billy.
Does. Even though they're experienced wearing a hazmat suit, CDC workers refuse to enter that one bathroom, the last one on 75 there in Naples. They don't go in there.
Saw that one time. Emergency.
You guys are doing good.
Oh, thank you. It was like a butchery there. That was the filthiest bathroom I've ever seen in my life.
And we've seen some.
Oh,
but I remember we both used it at different times, and we got back in the car, and I go, can you believe that? You know, I know. It's the worst I've ever seen. And finally, the very top thing you didn't know about the CDC.
Yes.
They tackle medical mysteries.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what causes cancer? Why does cancer spread? And how the hell is Keith Richards still alive? Yeah. Hot damn!
Hot damn!
And that, my friend, is the 4 o'clock run.
Elvis!
Left the building.
All right, let's see if I can do the local beat really quickly here, because we're short on time. Very short on time.
And patience.
And patience.
And
local
money.
Beat. Yeah, these are two stories, both involving gunfire. Right here. In what we call paradise. Let's start with the first one. Dateline Fort Myers. Two men were taken to the hospital after a shooting at Babe's nightclub in Fort Myers.
Are you kidding?
Not kidding. According to the Fort Myers Police Department, the victims were taken to Lee Memorial Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries after the incident, which happened on Cleveland Avenue. Everybody knows where Babe's is. Officers secured the scene and are searching for a lone gunman who fled in a vehicle wearing a dark hoodie, dark pants, and white sneakers. The accused shooter...
Well, we know it wasn't a boyfriend because they'd be wearing boots.
Yep. The accused shooter lost control of his car and crashed near the intersection of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Cleveland Avenue and then ran away, according to police. The gunman knocked a light post down during the crash. Investigators said the shooting was not random. Dateline Cape Coral. This is all within a few hours of each other. A shooter is on the loose after a drive-by shooting in Cape Coral where a gunman shot a car at the intersection of Northwest Cape off of Northwest First Avenue. According to the Cape Coral cops, the victims were in the 1100 block of Northwest First Avenue when the occupant of the other vehicle fired around five shots at the vehicle. The bullets hit the front passenger door of the victim's vehicle. The suspect then left the area. The victims could not recall, amazingly, what make or model the vehicle was. There were no injuries in the shooting. The Cape Police Forensic Unit and detectives responded and are investigating the shooting. At this time, it does not appear to be a specific and targeted incident. So, within the last 24 hours, two shootings.
The one in Cape Coral, somebody just felt like shooting in a car.
Yep, five shots. We'll be back.
What is wrong here?
I don't know. We're Stan and Haney. 96K Rock and Tat Cemetery in Fort Myers are removing the X. Just in time for Valentine's. Upload a photo of the tattoo of your ex that you want removed. Go to 96krock.com or on the K-Rock mobile app and upload that picture of that tat of the ex that you want removed. K-Rock listeners can vote on the tattoos on the website. And the winner will be announced on the Valentine's Day edition of the Stan and Haney Show. That's us. Remember, upload your photo of your ex tattoo and get all the details at 96krock.com or on the K-Rock mobile app. Send those pictures in. I'd like to see a few of those. Ahoy.
Hi, honey. How are you?
You know what? It's a voice I haven't heard in so long. Is this you, Fat Pat?
It sure is. It's Fatty Patty.
Oh, Fat Pat, how are you, sweetheart?
Don't worry about it. I had to call and check on you, honey, because it's after the new year.
Oh, you are so thoughtful of thinking of me, Fat Pat. You have been working with my weight now for a good 15 years.
You know, I feel like we're non-sexual soulmates, baby.
Yes. You know what? You and I, very close. You're a lot closer than a lot of people I know and that I work with. You're almost as close to me as Haney is to me.
You know, we're the kind of people who could understand why you want a ho-ho or a ding-dong instead of the sex.
You understand. You understand it. You know what? I just have the compulsion to eat.
Speaking of which, honey.
Yes, sweetheart.
It's a new year.
I got a long way to go, Fat Pat.
You're a married man now.
I know.
And I know you got yourself a young honey. Believe me, I don't judge. God knows I've had my fair share of boy toys, but I'll never leave my Chevy hubby.
Fat Pat, did you fool around on your husband all these years?
Oh, heck yeah.
Really?
You know this better than anybody. You know how good you feel when you drop the weight and your partner's the same old slab. You want to go out and enjoy your new body.
I know, Fat Pat, you're right. And who am I to judge what you've done with your life? You have motivated me so much over the years. I understand that there's a good heart in there that wants to see Stan succeed.
And I know how you got to know what I mean by that, because there's been so many times because we do the yo-yo, and when you get that weight off, you just feel so darn good.
Oh, I know, and I need to get the weight off. Fat Pat, I'm at my heaviest of my life. I break the diet, I break the routine, and then again, I look at the scale, and here we are, 2020, and I'm as fat as ever.
You're fatter than you've ever been?
Yes, Fat Pat, I'm as fat as I've ever been.
Well, let me give you a little inspiration, honey.
Okay.
If you're the fattest you've ever been, and you've been doing the old yo-yo, yo-yo, just like me.
Oh, 20 pounds there, 30 pounds there, put 40 back on, drop 50, put 60. Oh, it's Fat Pat, you know this. You know this. We're kindred spirits.
But here's the good news, honey. That means when you drop the weight, you're probably going to be skinnier than you ever been.
Yeah, for a while. I think you're right.
And then when you put the weight back on, you'll be heavier than you ever been.
Yeah, I know. And you know how it is, Fat Pat. I look in that mirror. I look at Stan through the reflection in that mirror, and I don't like what I see.
And you know what you got to do, honey?
What's that?
You got to look in that mirror, and you got to do it nude.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to look at that mirror, look that mirror in the eye, and say, Fat, get off me.
Yeah, I do that. I look right in the mirror. I say, Fat, get off me.
Have you seen that new thing they have now where they got a mirror, but there's another person in it telling you to jump up and down, do jumping jacks?
I have seen that. Do you recommend that? Should I get one of those, Fat Pat?
I could never afford that. I wanted to get one of them exercise bikes that the guy got for his pregger's wife.
Yeah.
And I can't afford that.
Oh, I got one. You want it? I'll give it to you.
You're not using it, honey?
You know how I am. I'm at the heaviest I've ever been, Pat. What am I going to do on a stationary bike? It's taking up a lot of room in the house.
You know why? That'd probably be a lot of effort to have to come over to your place and carry it down all those stairs. I don't think so.
Okay,
as much
right.
as I'd like it, all as right. much as I'd thank you,
yeah,
honey.
Because I don't have a pickup truck, and I don't think you have a pickup truck. You drive one of them big Impalas.
Well, and God knows I couldn't get my Chevy hubby off his ass to come up there and get it.
Yeah, so forget it. It'll just stay at my house. You know what?
But You got to watch it. And the reason that I tell you about my boy toy.
What?
Is because the reason I was telling you about my boy toys.
Yeah, do you have one now?
No, because I'm a little, I'm fat right now. Nobody give me a second look, hon.
What do I got to do?
But what I want to warn you about, though.
What?
Is you went and got yourself a hot little chickadee-doo.
Yeah.
And right now, you're newlyweds.
Right.
And so she looks at you and she doesn't see the fat.
No, she really doesn't. She really doesn't. It just doesn't bother her.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure, Fat Pat.
It's pretty intimate.
Well, you know what? We've always been close.
Have you got to the point where you fart in front of her?
Fat Pat, we're married. We've been married now for like 4 or 5 months. Yes,
that
of course.
We
dated for almost 2 years before that.
Now, what I mean by that, honey, is, of course, you know, we're human beings and things happen.
Yeah.
But have you ever just let one rip with no zero respect at all?
Sure, it happens.
Oh, honey, that's not good.
What do you mean it's not good? You know what? What?
She's losing respect for you already.
Oh, no, she's not. You know what? This sounds like you're projecting a little bit. Not enough about me. What about you? What about you, Fat Pat? What are you tipping the scales at these days?
Too much.
Yeah, oh, you and me both.
I had a little fit and I threw all the scales out. And you know how much money I spend on scales.
Yes, I know that. So it's that bad? I know that.
Yeah.
I know that you weighed more than I did, and I think you still might. Are you on the good side of 300 or on the bad side?
Bad side, honey.
Oh,
I bet I could beat you in a sumo match.
Then what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do? First of all, if you are my inspiration, my person that makes me drive and look in that mirror and say, fat, get off me. What are you doing to go and get yourself back in shape for 2020? You're telling me how fat I am and how newlywed, now she's I'll be disrespecting her and all this. What are you doing?
Well, I don't want to get into this, honey.
You must be doing something for 2020, sweetheart. We're in this together. What are you doing?
I've had a little bit of a health scare.
Oh, no. No, what happened? What's wrong, Fat Pat? What happened?
Well, last night, honey.
This health scare happened last night?
Yeah, it's all out of the way now. But it really scared me because I sat down on the pot.
Yes. Yes.
And I had to strain really hard.
Oh, was it? No, it was number two.
Well, it was supposed to be number two. Barely anything come out. But then it was like I felt like I had a snake running through my intestines.
That's horrible, Fat Pat. Are you all right? Did you have to go to the hospital?
I almost did. As a matter of fact, one time I called for my chubby hubby to come get me an ambulance.
A what?
An ambulance.
An ambulance?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
But he couldn't hear me, and by the time I could get up and move, I was okay enough where I didn't bother.
Remember when he accused me of being one of your boy toys?
Oh, what an idiot.
Yep. So what happened? I mean, are you okay? Has it passed? Are you all right? That's a little bit of a scare.
It was a scare, and you know what I had to do. I had to get up real early this morning and make an appointment, and I went in to see my hairdresser.
Wait a second. You went to your hairdresser? You should be in the emergency room.
Oh, honey, no. I went to my hairdresser, and I feel a lot better. I got a new hairdo, and she said it was probably trapped gas.
Yes, with the way we eat?
And that, my 8 slices of pizza didn't help.
She said
to take some Gassix, and recommended... Yeah, Gassix. It's an anti-gas.
I know what it is.
And then she said, now if you want to keep that away and you don't want to hurt like that, what you got to do is get something called a probiotic.
A probiotic, yes. Are you taking do you take any vitamins or probiotics or anything to lower, a garlic or fish oil to lower your blood pressure down or your cholesterol? Your veins are probably almost gravy.
Stan, I have garlic almost every night. I love Italian food.
Yeah, but that's pasta and sauce and stuff and cheese.
Well, I was just so relieved that my hairdresser said it was trapped gas. Because I've been dealing with, rapid heartbeat.
That's not good.
I've been having increased sweating.
Oh, my. Are you sweating right now?
Hair loss.
Hair
loss. Constipation. And you can probably tell, honey, my voice has gotten deeper.
Yes, it's changed.
And you got muscle aches and yellowing of the eyes.
That's liver. You got a liver to your jaundice. That's
and when I urinate, it's like red wine. I also got a swollen lymph node and rash and tender lumps. And
yellow eyes and red wine urine.
And, and shortness of breath, and I've noticed a lot of vision changes and whatnot.
What the hell are you doing going to your hairdresser? You know what? Go to the hospital right now. Get that fat-ass husband of yours to take you or call an ambulance.
And my liver just throbs constantly.
Do you take any kind of medications, Fat Pat? Blood pressure medication, cholesterol medication. Something's not working because you are over 300 pounds and you're jaundiced. Your liver's shutting down. You're constipated and you're getting ready to vision. You're in trouble, Pat. Go do something.
Stan, honey, I got it all under control.
How's that? What? How do you got it under control?
Well, I'm going to lose weight once I get past this. But for right now, every 3 weeks, I have to get an IV of CBD oil for 30
minutes.
You're going
with CBD oil.
Right.
Has it done anything for you?
I haven't really had a chance yet, honey. But I'll tell you this, the gas has helped.
Sure, a temporary fix, but it's not going to fix if your stomach's all messed up in your intestines and you're suffering from liver failure.
Yeah, I got increased levels of liver enzymes and decreased levels of salt.
Can I ask you something, Pat? If you don't go to the doctor, if you think it's just going to go and settle down,
I got a stiff neck. I've been having a lot of memory problems. You know, confusion, fever, muscle weakness, trouble balancing.
We're coming up on dinner time. Are you planning to eat tonight or go to the hospital?
Oh, I got a trail is out. I don't know what Fatty's going to have for dinner, but that's mine.
A whole tray of lasagna.
You know better than anybody. Yep. That's the only thing that will make me feel better. That's my comfort food. Some people like chicken soup. I like a big tray of garlic lasagna.
What?
I've also noticed that I bruise more easily than I used to.
Earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis. Some call it global warming. Some call it climate change. But there's one thing I think we can all agree on. Our Mother Earth has been hitting us pretty hard lately.
These days, let's face it, Mother Nature has gone batshit crazy and she's trying to kill us.
For too long, we've been trying to save the environment.
Save the whales.
Save the polar bears. And where has it gotten us?
I don't know if you checked the scoreboard lately, but the environment's been kicking the shit out of us.
Haven't we had enough?
Haven't we had enough?
Haven't we had enough of the environment? We Native Americans have always believed that nature is something to be conquered, strangled. The dead wolf cannot bite you in the ass.
97% of American scientists agree. Climate change is real.
I'll buy toothpaste if 3 out of 4 dentists agree.
So yes, it's real. And yes,
we're causing it. And you know what? Good.
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 Good!
Where I come from, if someone tries to kill you,
you get to kill them back first. It's just self-defense.
But it's good common sense.
Here's a question. If Al Gore is so smart, how come he didn't get to be president?
Did you know that you can make oil out of whales? Whales are made up of a lot of oil.
We need that oil.
What are we saving it for?
Save the polar bears?
The polar bears. Them things will take your goddamn arm off.
Ask the adorable baby seals what they think of polar bears.
I saw Lost. Yeah, it'll be safest for everyone if they just live in their cages.
The elders have a saying. The salmon and the lizard arrive home in 3 days. What the f*** does that mean?
I don't know about you, but I'm tired of spending my entire night digging through my trash by the light of a fluorescent bulb for bits of plastic with that little recycling triangle on it.
All for the environment.
That triangle is for squares.
And how does the environment pay me back?
By sending a f***ing tornado to throw my house into a wildfire,
which was swallowed by an earthquake.
And I am hit with a tsunami.
But I'm not exaggerating a fear-mongering. All of that literally happened to me.
I don't have a place to live.
Our cars have climate control. Our homes, our casinos. But our world doesn't. That's not right.
It's time we find out how fast a Bugatti Veyron goes from 0 to 100 on whale pacing.
Load faster than a solar one.
It's time to stand up to the environment.
It's time to show Mother Nature who's really in charge.
If Mother Nature's gonna be such a bitch, I say we pave her ass.
This world ain't big enough for both of us and her.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time
to help stop the environment
before it stops us.
We can save the environment, or we can save ourselves. Pick a side.
Bastards of Beasley Media Group, Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Wednesday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Rob's show will be in at 6 o'clock. He'll have a 6 o'clock safe word for you that could get you $1,000 if you hit the G-spot. Let's take a look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon, huh? All right, we got a few things on the board. Start with two in Fort Myers. Got a crash, McGregor Boulevard and West College Point Drive. Another crash, Fort Myers, 12,000 block of South Cleveland Avenue, right by the PDQ. And in Estero, crash, South Tamiami Trail and Estero Parkway, and you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme. When people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchor man was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrett Gutley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, January 29th.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
All right.
Now, this is one I certainly didn't know, and I'm almost hesitant to do it because I am not an expert in the subject. I would have to defer to you, Stan.
What?
As our resident expert in the game of golf.
Okay.
What is a hole in one on a par five hole called?
I don't know that anybody's ever gotten. I don't know. There's. You got a bogey for a one over, par for even, birdie for one under, eagle for two under, double eagle for three under. I don't know.
Well, I'm going according to what they tell me here. A hole in one on a par five hole is called a condor.
Never knew that.
wonder if my buddy, the PGA player, I bet Chuck would know.
It is considered the single hardest thing to do in the game of golf.
I don't think I've ever seen a hole-in-one on a par five.
And they say there has never been one in a pro tournament.
Pro at any level. If somebody has some kind of video of somebody getting a hole-in-one on a par five. See, now, Double Eagle, and I knew that too. Double Eagle is also an albatross. But a condor, I've never heard it.
Well, that's why it's in this segment. You hear it fairly frequently. Yeah. Threw me under the bus on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Somebody that was trying to go behind your back and you realized you may as well have been under a bus. I don't know. There's origins for all of that. Oh, and Rob, I don't want to see a punk kid on a shortened par five getting a hole.
Yeah, not mini golf. The phrase "threw me under the bus" has only been around for a relatively short period of time. The first time someone used the phrase was in an article in the Times of London in 1982. That's the first reference they can find.
I would have thought it had gone back farther than that.
Well, that's the first written reference they can find.
God knows I've been thrown under the bus enough.
Which means if the writer was using it, it had been in circulation. Kind of like certain things we know about Rod Stewart. It may not have been written down, but people had heard it.
Yeah.
Well, the chicken sandwich war that Popeyes kicked off last year has consequences. It's apparently led to a full-blown chicken shortage.
A chicken shortage?
The chicken sandwich mania that began last year when Popeyes started selling tons of chicken sandwiches. The hype from Popeyes didn't just affect them. Chick-fil-A's sales are way up, too.
Well, I believe it, because they've got a damn good one, too. They've got a really good one.
McDonald's and Wendy's are stepping up their game to sell more chicken sandwiches.
They better.
But this all has consequences. And specifically, it has led to a serious nationwide shortage of little chickens.
Really?
It's because a chicken sandwich requires chickens that are under 4 1/4 pounds, because the breasts of that size bird are perfect for a chicken sandwich.
They're nice and tender, juicy.
And there are simply not enough small chickens in the world to keep up with demand.
There's a lot of chickens in the world.
But not ones that are perfect at 4 1/4 pounds, tender and juicy.
Got that right.
It's gotten to the point now where your chicken sandwich-sized breasts now cost companies triple what a larger breast costs.
Really?
The price difference is historically high. A restaurant consultant who does nothing but run his mouth says,
The chains are more than willing to pay the premium, though, because it's still cheaper for them than trying to cut larger breasts into the right size.
Thank God Popeyes hasn't raised the cost.
The consultant says, quote, they simply won't settle for a larger bird.
Yeah, Boyd.
I was reading his quote. That's what
it's
he says.
It's pronounced Boyd.
And yeah, but I guess if it was a written statement that I put out, they won't settle for bigger birds, then it would be parentheses sick.
Do you know, speaking of chickens, and I haven't seen this since I lived on the farm. My wife goes to, and I'll say where she got it. She went to the Publix and got a dozen eggs. She wants to make herself like a little egg in the morning before she goes off to work.
Oh, I was hoping that she picked up some Miracle Whip and was going to make her famous deviled eggs.
She can do that, too. Don't worry. The house is always stocked with Miracle Whip. That's the secret.
Don't tell anybody.
She cracked open her egg to go and cook.
Mm-hmm.
Double yolker. She took a picture of it.
That's like a four-leaf clover.
It is. Now, when I was a kid on the farm, you used to get double yolk eggs all the time. Big eggs. But we got just regular Publix eggs. She opens it up, cracks it, puts it into the
And it's bowl. A double yolker.
Double yolker.
Boy.
She goes, oh, look at this, a double yolk. I take a picture of that.
You know, in cooking, that's almost like a condor.
Yes, like a condor. What happens when you get a double yolk? If you're a baker, and it calls for one egg, but you crack that egg open and it's a double yolk, is that count as two eggs? It's one white, but two yolks. What is that? And how? What happens in cooking? That had to happen a lot back in the old farm days when they go get the eggs out of the hen house. You got a double yolker there.
Yeah. I hope she didn't scramble it.
I don't know what she did with it. I think she did it over easy.
Yeah, for a double yolker, you've got to honor it.
Is there
even
a
if
thing?
You were planning to scramble it and you get a double yolk?
Yeah.
Hey,
is that two eggs? It's one egg, two yolks. What about a triple yolker? Is that even heard of? Three egg yolks in one egg?
I don't know. I think that's taking it too
far.
That's
a condor right there.
Because then you end up with, like, two beaks and a head growing out of its neck.
I don't even know if one would hatch. I would think one would go and feed off the other. What do you know, Rob?
According to the Guinness World Records, the largest egg laid by a chicken, one egg had five yolks in it.
Whoa!
A five-bagger.
A five-yoker.
It measured 12.2 inches around.
That poor hen. Because they make a lot of noise when they are laying eggs.
Well, you know, that rooster had to be proud of himself.
You darn right he did. A five-yoker.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Hi, I'm Jason. You're in love and want to purchase a diamond. You have so many choices. You may be thinking, do I wait till I'm back in New York? Do I jump online and search the internet? Maybe I'll cruise over to the islands. Before buying a diamond, you owe it to yourself to give Todd and me an opportunity at the Diamond District.
Jason and I have the largest selection of GIA-certified diamonds in Southwest Florida. All are priced at or below the most competitive places in the world. We've partnered with De Beers in Canada and Africa. We've traveled to Israel, Antwerp, and India to select our diamonds. We want to offer you the best possible diamond buying experience.
Come see why more people choose the Diamond District than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, it's not up to us to explain everything. Just things happen and we tell you about them. Sometimes we can't make sense of them.
Right.
So I just bring you the facts. the hottest video game console of 1982 wants to become the hottest hotel chain of 2020. I don't know why, I don't know how, but Atari.
Aha! I was right.
Just announced, for reasons known only to them, they're launching a new line of hotels. The first one will open in Phoenix before the end of the year. They're also targeting 7 other locations, including Las Vegas, Denver, Chicago, Austin, Seattle, San Francisco, and San Jose. So, you might be wondering what goes on at an Atari hotel.
There's one right there. I'm wondering, is it a 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, a 1? What kind of level of accommodations?
Well, here's all they've said so far. They say it will include fully immersive experiences for every age and gaming ability, including virtual reality, and that they will host esports tournaments.
Oh. You know, Beasley's big into that, the esports.
They're big into everything except radio.
Yep. That is a huge branch of Beasley. Is the esports, the teams and all. They got teams and cities, and it's like one of their big things. And you are right. They are into everything big except radio.
Yep. You know, it's always been the redheaded stepchild.
It always has.
You know, you sometimes just wonder how certain people get through life at all.
Yes.
Police in Birmingham, England, received a call on Sunday night when someone noticed a man acting suspiciously inside a Ford Focus. What's he doing in there? Rummaging around? What's he doing?
In the old Ford Focus. Good economical automobile.
He's not getting out of it. He just keeps moving around in there. Helen, call the police.
Yep. There's somebody moving around in that Focus.
And when the police arrived, they immediately found out what was wrong.
What?
The man, through closed windows, told the police, "I'm trapped."
What?
He's trapped inside the car. He's somehow locked himself inside the car.
How do you do that? It's impossible.
I would think so, and nobody knows how he was trapped inside the car.
Oh, look at the inside of that car. It looks like a violent man was in there. He probably, once he realized he was locked inside the car,
started to panic.
It's
like, you know, a dog when they think you're not coming back. They just go crazy.
Yeah. That is a inside of a vehicle that I'm looking at right now of a man who panicked.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as a police officer, when you're presented with this opportunity, you're certainly not going to turn it down. You're going to break the window. You're not going to call a locksmith.
No.
Gives you an excuse to break a window.
Yeah.
Very therapeutic. So they got him out, but then they couldn't help but notice the car had fake license plates.
Aha.
And had been reported stolen. They removed the idiot from the scene.
Idiot. Let me tell you something. You call a locksmith, you lock your keys in your car. I've seen it happen.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, sure have. And you call a locksmith? If you think for a second by locking your car and all that stuff that nobody can get into it unless they break a window, guess again. This locksmith came up. You were with me.
Yeah, well, all it accomplishes is you discourage the casual thief.
Yep. He slides this little inflatable thing right by the door handle.
Very low tech.
Yep. Gives it a few pumps of air. Pop. Like, and no damage. Like nothing ever happened. He was in the automobile where I knew somebody that locked their keys in the car.
Yeah, what a dumbass.
Yeah, idiot. And inside the car in 2 seconds.
Although in the guy's defense, was somebody around him that might have distracted him?
Quite possibly.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
That'd be different then.
Sure, I mean, yeah. You'd hope the guy could think of two things at once.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill. You know, Stan, one of my
what?
Fondest memories is being there and stepping in for you when your daughter was born. You were in no condition to deal with it.
I appreciate that, you stepping up like that.
I'm proud to have done it.
Yeah.
And a lot of new moms will tell you they are shocked and appalled at just how well the baby's father manages to sleep during those first few nights at the hospital, despite the constant screaming and crying from the bundle of joy.
Uh-huh.
Well, a woman named Samantha from Wisconsin is going viral for her technique to force her husband to wake up and take care of the baby while they were at the hospital.
Please.
Samantha tells us that when she had a baby 5 years ago, my husband slept through him crying in the hospital. Now, 5 years ago, she threw a water bottle at him to wake him up. So when she had a baby last month, she stepped up the game. Throwing a water bottle to wake somebody up isn't efficient. You run out of them.
Yeah.
So last month, when she headed out to the hospital to have the baby, she brought along a Nerf gun.
I'm sorry, that is just the ultimate of disrespect.
And the new mom says she didn't even need it.
No!
Why?
Why?
Because when her husband spotted in her bag, he was scared to go to sleep.
I'm sure it's preconditioning.
Yellow.
Yep. Jeez. That is so, well, not surprising, but.
And that's the news for today, Wednesday, January 29th.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. I don't get it. When men used to stay out in the waiting room and hand out cigars waiting for the nurse to say, hey, it's a boy or it's a girl. They didn't like that.
Cigars and whiskey.
Then be in the room with it. They don't like that. And for every new father that is going through this, take it from Haney and I.
You're going to tell them, aren't you?
I'm going to tell them. You know all the classes that you go to?
Oh, they're so important. Don't be late for that class.
Don't be late. And then you see the one woman that comes and she's by herself because her husband couldn't make it and he's shamed and all of that. And so then you see the real couple there. They go through the classes together, the breathing, make sure you have the ice chips ready for her and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When she is in labor.
And the class is led by a man-hater who constantly tells you you're dirt.
But when she is in labor in the delivery room, all of that training goes out the door. She wants her epidural
and she wants you away.
She wants her mother.
Yes, she does.
But that was during our time when things were turning. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard in Rob's case, his wife forced him to have the baby.
Yeah, it's true. And he still has the stretch marks to prove it.
Is that true, Rob? I just heard that. It didn't sound real.
I can't confirm or deny.
You go around the building showing your stretch marks. We'll be back, Stan and Haney.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
I think that's true. Stan and Haney here. Thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us. It is greatly appreciated. Rob's show coming up at 6 o'clock. He'll have a 6 o'clock safe word. Could get you a thou, and he'll take you through your evening. Let's get one more look at traffic for your drive home. One thing on the board, and it is a crash. Fort Myers, the 13,000 block of South Cleveland Avenue, right by the Rob and Stuckey's parking lot. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I was just in Wyoming. If you guys get a chance to go to Wyoming, be very careful driving. I couldn't even see across the street because the air was so thick with boredom. My God, they had like five religious channels on the cable TV there. I didn't know what they were. Some woman comes out reading off sins. I thought they were things to do in town. I was like, wow, the community update is very thorough on this channel. And then I was in Reno, Nevada. Very exciting when I was in Reno. The police went on the news. They were looking for a woman who had stolen a baby out of the hospital. And they described her as being over 400 pounds and wearing hot pink stretch pants. And immediately, my heart went out to the pants. And then I got thinking, maybe she's a criminal genius. 400 pounds and hot pink stretch.
I was okay enough where I didn't bother.
Remember when he accused me of being one of your boy toys?
Oh, what an idiot.
Yep. So what happened? I mean, are you okay? Has it passed? Are you all right? That's a little bit of a scare.
It was a scare, and you know what I had to do. I had to get up real early this morning and make an appointment, and I went in to see my hairdresser.
Wait a second. Said, you went to your hairdresser? You should be in the emergency room.
Oh, honey, no. I went to my hairdresser, and I feel a lot better. I got a new hairdo, and she said it was probably trapped gas.
Yes, with the way we eat.
And that, my 8 slices of pizza didn't help.
She said
to take some Gassix. And she recommended, Gassix. It's an anti-gas.
I know what it is.
And then she said, now if you want to keep that away and you don't want to hurt like that, what you got to do is get something called a probiotic.
A probiotic, yes. Are you taking do you take any vitamins or probiotics or anything to lower, a garlic or fish oil to lower your blood pressure down or your cholesterol? Your veins are probably almost gravy.
Stan, I have garlic almost every night. I love Italian food.
Yeah, but that's pasta and sauce and stuff like and cheese.
Well, I was just so relieved that my hairdresser said it was trapped gas. Because I've been dealing with, rapid heartbeat.
That's not good.
I've been having increased sweating.
Oh, my. Are you sweating right now?
Hair loss.
Hair
constipation. And you can probably tell, honey, my voice has gotten deeper.
Yes, it's changed.
And you got muscle aches and yellowing of the eyes.
That's liver.
You've got a liver to your jaundice. That's
and when I urinate, it's like red wine. I also got a swollen lymph node, and rash, and tender lumps, and
yellow eyes, and red wine urine.
And shortness of breath, and I've noticed a lot of vision changes and whatnot.
What the hell are you doing going to your hairdresser? You know what? Go to a hospital right now. Get that fat-ass husband of yours to take you or call an ambulance.
And my liver just throbs constantly.
Do you take any kind of medications, Fat Pat? Blood pressure medication, cholesterol medication. Something's not working because you are over 300 pounds and you're jaundiced. Your liver's shutting down. You're constipated and you're getting ready to vision. You're in trouble, Pat. Go do something.
Stan, honey, I got it all under control.
How's that? What? How do you got it under control?
Well, I'm going to lose weight once I get past this. But for right now, every 3 weeks, I have to get an IV of CBD oil for 30
minutes.
You're going
with CBD oil?
Right.
Has it done anything for you?
I haven't really had a chance yet, honey. But I'll tell you this, the gas has helped.
Sure, a temporary fix, but it's not going to fix if your stomach's all messed up in your intestines and you're suffering from liver failure.
Yeah, I got increased levels of liver enzymes and decreased levels of salt.
Can I ask you something, Pat? If you don't go to the doctor, if you think it's just going to go and settle down, let me ask you.
I got a stiff neck. I've been having a lot of memory problems. You know, confusion, fever, muscle weakness, trouble balancing.
We're coming up on dinner time. Are you planning to eat tonight or go to the hospital?
Oh, I got a trail is out. I don't know what fatty's going to have for dinner, but that's mine.
A whole tray of lasagna.
You know better than anybody. Yep. That's the only thing that will make me feel better. That's my comfort food. Some people like chicken soup. I like a big tray of garlic lasagna.
What?
I've also noticed that I bruise more easily than I used to.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.